in Genesis chapter 29. And I preached a few different times from this chapter. But I don't know, God just put this on me to really give to somebody here tonight. Maybe somebody's going to listen, I don't know. But it's an odd place for my thought that I've got on my mind tonight. And I just love, I don't know how many messages I've preached, I don't know how many times I've taught through Genesis, and I love it. There's so many lessons in here, the book of New Beginnings. And you want to ever, you think your family is messed up. It gets the holiday seasons, we get to think, oh, my family's dysfunctional. You want to read some dysfunctional families, go to Genesis and read about Abraham's family and Isaac's and Jacob's. And you're talking about troubles, and you'll see that your family's pretty good shape. And mine too, compared to the troubles and issues that these families have. But in Genesis chapter 29, verse 16, I'm going to pick it up tonight. The Bible said, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Leah was ugly, is what it was. That's what that means, tender-eyed. She's ugly. That means when you looked at Leah, you got eyes squinted up, tender-eyed. Leah was tender-eyed. She is ugly. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Now, if ever two characters in the Bible was meant for each other, it's Laban and Jacob. I mean, they're just both scoundrels, just on a different scale. And Laban is a lying, conniving, deceiving backstabber, and so is Jacob. But they're just different ways, and I've taught a little bit about that, preached on that. And Jacob served 7 years. He worked 7 years out there for old Laban, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. You ever do something that you love, and man, this time just flies by. That's the way it is right here. 7 years goes by. Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled that I may go in unto her. Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass, and in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? He tricked him. And that, you got to know the custom at the time. The bride, the face was covered. Everything was covered. And after they done married off to each other, he woke up the next morning and he wasn't who he wanted to be married. He was married to Leah. He said, you tricked me here, old man. You got me. Watch this. Laban said, it must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than he loved, more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Now, right down here. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. Now, the Lord saw this. And, you know, you never want to read the scripture and think things that the Lord approves of and the Lord allows. The Lord allowed a lot of these things to happen in the Bible, but it doesn't mean the Lord approved of it. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. If you got a pen with you, look at Reuben and underline looked. Now therefore my husband will love me. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. You can look in verse 33. Look at that. The Lord had heard. So in 32, he looked, and in verse 33, he heard. Verse 34, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him 3 sons. Now you can look at the word be joined. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing, and you can underline, I will praise the Lord. She had four sons, and I just give you two of their names and a little bit about what their names mean. But you look at Rachel and Leah and this whole story in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 29, and you know that Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and you know the situation about Jacob and his brother Esau, that one was a man after the spirit, one was a man after the flesh. Esau would never cared about the things of his daddy or anything else, and Jacob was a lying, conniving, conceiving person. And he goes out there and he gets with old Laban right here, and he wants to marry Rachel real, real bad, and they cut a deal and said, you work 7 years, and I just read it all to you. And so he gets here and he gets half to marry Leah, and he has to stay with Leah. And he's with Leah all the days of his life, and all Leah ever wanted was for Jacob to love her. That's all he ever, that's all the girl ever wanted was Jacob to love her. And so look, here's the thing, and I got this thought in my mind just the other day thinking about this, about Thanksgiving coming up and things we're thankful for. And I preached a message out of this before many years ago called When God Gives You Something Ugly, and God gives us ugly things in life. But if I were to ask you to write down tonight on a card things that you would be thankful for in your life, I bet you everybody in here would say, I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful I got a house. Brother Tyler prayed about that. We got a place to sleep. We've got vehicles. We got a church we can sit into. We've got heating and cooling. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on about the things that we're thankful for. But looking at this story here tonight, if you were to ask Leah some things that she'd be thankful for, or Jacob some things that he would be thankful for, Brother Glenn, I don't think he would say, I'm thankful that I had Leah right here. This is something I did not want. This is something ugly that came into my life. But anyway, I got to thinking about this, that the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. And listen, here we are with somebody who gets something ugly in their life, and at the end of the day, God teaches us a story about here, about what she can be thankful for, about what she got out of this, and what he got out of something. Now, if you was going to write down that card, you wouldn't write down, Randall, I thank God for cancer. I thank God I got to go back for my doctor's appointments. I thank God I went through this issue. I thank God this happened to me. You wouldn't write those things down. We put all those things out of our mind, don't we? Hey, we like the sunrise, but we don't like the dark time, do we? Hey, listen, we like the rainbows, but we don't like the storms. And God gives us things in life. I said at the beginning of this service, God sends us through storms. And God puts trials on us. But how many of us in here would say, God, I want to thank you for giving me that problem. I want to thank you for giving me that situation. I want to thank you for giving me that ugly thing that came into my life. Well, we don't do that, do we? But we'll find that God uses those things to develop us and teach us a lesson. I had you when we was reading the Bible, when we was reading the scriptures down here. She had four sons, Brother Glenn. And she named them something. And I believe them four names teach us some things about being thankful. And if I were to title this message tonight, it'd be saying, thank God for things I didn't want. Thank God for lessons I learned in things that I didn't ask for and things that I didn't want. She had this firstborn son right here. And she called his name Reuben. And she said, the Lord, look upon that name. Reuben means to see. And listen, her whole perspective changed when she had Reuben. It believes it shows us this. When you and I go through things in our life, and listen, that are ugly, and we'll say, there's no way that that's from God. There's no way God can use this situation. There's no way God can help me. Does it feel like God don't even see me? Have you ever been through anything in your life, and you feel like, God, where you at? Where you at? Where I listen, do you even see me, God, in what I'm in? But she named this child Reuben, which means God sees. And friend, listen tonight. God sees the good, and God sees the bad that comes in our lives. Hey, listen, it changed her perspective. It changed her sight, how she viewed things. And it changed Jacob's sight, how he viewed things. Hey, listen, when Reuben was born, and isn't this something, how a tragedy will come in our life, or or a situation will come in our life, or we'll go through something, and when we get on through the other side, we'll look back and we'll say, yeah, I see what God was doing in all the midst of that. God sees it all from end to the beginning, and the beginning to the end. And she's going through something, and she's looking back, and she said, I got Reuben, and God sees all that I'm going through. But it don't stop there. The Bible said she bore another child, and she named his name Simeon, which means to hear. Not only, listen, does God see all, brother, not only does it change her perspective, brother, but also mean God hears. Hey, have you ever just prayed something? Have you ever just been through a real low point in your life, or just something bad come at you, or some tragedy hit, and you pray, and you feel like your prayer don't even go past the tip of your nose? Hey, she said, hey, through all this ugliness that I went through, I know one thing, God hears my prayers. And isn't it something how we'll get more intense in our prayer life when we go through a hard time, or when we go through a tragedy, or when we go through a situation, how our prayer life will just amp up, and we'll get serious with God. Hey, listen, when the things in our life just ain't working out, why do you think so many times God puts us through situations? When the Bible said in Jonah, chapter 1, watch this, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and told him, go down to Nineveh. And what did he do, brother? He got on a boat and fled to Tarshish. The other way, he never prayed about it or nothing else. You know when Jonah prayed, when the storm hit and they threw him overboard and he was in the belly of that whale, then he cried out. You know what I found a whole lot of times about old brother Kevin? Brother, I'll tell you what, I'll go by things, long things going good, everything's all right, brother, I slack off, but let a little pressure get on me, or a storm, or some stress, brother, I amp up the prayer, don't you? And that's what she's saying right here. She said, hey, God, thank you for this ugly thing. Thank you for this ugly thing I've got in my life. I learned how to pray. I learned how to seek your face, and I know you hear me. You ever notice that, how we are? She said, Reuben, because God sees it all. You ever feel like you come to church, you're the only one in here, and God don't even see you here? You go praying, God, you feel like God ain't even hearing you. Listen to me. Thanking God for the ugly things. Thanking God for the ugly things that He gives us, things that we don't even want in our life. But God hears. In this same book of Genesis right here, there's a little woman there named Hagar. And she don't ask for the situation that she's in. She gets pregnant by Abraham and has a child. And it caused issues right there in that home. And you know what happened? You know the story? They cast her out and the child. And she went as far as she could go, brother. Abraham didn't even give her no water, Tyler. He didn't even give her nothing to take. And she goes out there. It ain't her fault that she's in the situation that she's in. Other people make bad decisions and put her in the spot that she's in. Have you ever been like that in life? Other people make dumb decisions and put you in a bad spot. Well, here she is. She's cast out there in the desert. And she just sets that child, the Bible says, over by a bow shot. And she sits down and she begins to cry. Hey, listen, you don't even know what she says, but God heard those tears, and God heard that prayer from her heart, and dispatched an angel down there and gave her a drink of water and sent her on her way. Have you ever been like that in life, where you've been out there listening, you've gone all you can go, but God hears prayer language that comes from tears. He hears that groaning heart, and He'll answer that when we're going through issues in our life. You go down there and you see somebody in the hospital, and somebody said, well, did you pray with them? I don't know. People lay there sometimes, they'll grunt you, their eyes are closed, maybe they're too weak to talk. But I say, listen to me, God knows the heart. God knows the intent of the heart. God knows what's going on in the mind of man, in the heart of man. We may think they're unconscious, but God sees things down in there. And God hears things that we can't hear. He's got His ways are far above our ways, and thoughts far above ours. But when she went through something, and Jacob went through something here, and listen, I believe we got a lesson here learning about how you and I can thank God with the ugly things
things. And he says, some of you might have not been born with the best mommy or best daddy in the world or best situation in life. But as you grow older, you can look back and say, hey, I see now why. And it caused you to see things differently, don't it? And you see where God heard your prayers and where God loves you. And all them times you may have cried and God heard that prayer right there in that bed or in that bedroom or out there in that car somewhere. God sees what we go through. And God, listen, and she's giving thanks and Jacob's giving thanks for some ugly in her life. Nobody says thank you, Lord, on their card for the death of a loved one, for a tragedy, a car wreck takes somebody's life. I mean, things happen in our lives, folks. Hey, listen, we want all the things that we want all the Job said, shall not God receive, man receive evil from the hand of the Lord, and not good only. Boy, it rains on the just as well as the unjust, don't it? It comes at us always. Just because we're saved, just because we're Christians, don't mean we're exempt from problems, folks. It don't mean we're exempt from situations coming in our life. It don't mean we're exempt from ugly things coming at us. But listen, tell me, we can learn and look back, and even in it, listen, I give thanks because we got a God on the throne. He sees all and he hears all. And she said, I'm going to name this child Reuben and I'm going to name this child Simeon, but I ain't done yet. She had another child, Randall, and she named him Levi. It means to join or to bring things together. Are you listening? And looking back on it, I believe she could say this in her life. I believe she could quote Romans 8:28, for we know what God, listen, working all things together through them that are good, them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. You want to make a cake? You take a cake, you say, give me a piece of salt. Well, nobody wants just a table to eat a piece of salt, do they? Well, just give me a hard, just give me an egg, crack that egg. You got a salt here and some egg here. How about some of that flour over in a cup? You know, nobody just sits there and eats that flour in a cup. Don't taste good. Don't take that egg and that salt, that old butter over there, or grease or whatever you have, and put all that. But that's something about when you take all them ingredients and put them together and put them in the oven, put the heat to it, brother, it can make something that tastes pretty good, can't it? That's the way our life is a whole lot of times. God takes all these things in our life, listen, that we think are horrible, that we think we're never going to get through, and we're never going to get over, and we're never going to get around, never going to get under. And God says, look back here. I hear and I see, and someday I'm going to put it all together in one big picture for you to get a hold of. Amen. That's what he's doing right here in this story right here.
Amen.
With Jacob and with Leah. God's going to give us something, dear people. God's going to give us sometimes a bad report at the doctor's office. God, listen, something's going to happen in our life. Hey, listen, we're going to look back and say, how can I thank God for all that? Look in your lives, that different things that you went through, different trials and different tragedies. Hey, listen, look what God, Brother Glenn, get up and give a wonderful testimony Sunday about what happened way back there. He never could have dreamed, Glenn. You never would have dreamed when that happened there, that someday years down the road, you'd be giving a testimony and help somebody in the church, or you'd be leading a song somewhere. But God saw that, didn't he? And God heard those prayers. And God, years down the road, puts all that thing together for his good and for his glory. Is that how it works? God gives us ugly things. Giving thanks to God when he gives us ugly things. Thank you, God, Lord, that I went through that in my childhood. Thank you, God, that I went through this problem. Thank you, God, I went through this situation. Thank you, God, I went through this tragedy. Thank you, God, I went through all these things. And how God can mold those things. And how God can use those things to help us in our life. But I ain't done yet. She had room and brother. And she said, surely God sees. And God does see all. And then she had Simeon. And says, surely God hears. And he does hear all. And then she had Levi, which means to join everything together. How God can bring the most worst things and tie them all around and make something wonderful and make something beautiful out of. But here, God, listen, she has Judah, and you know what she says? Now I'm going to praise the Lord. I will praise. The very name Judah means to praise. You say, well, what's that got to do with the thing we're reading about here about thanking God? Did you know Judah goes on
to be in the line that Jesus Christ is going to come through. Judah, she had Judah, and through the line of Judah, Jesus, from the line of the tribe of Judah, comes Jesus from the line of Judah. So she has Judah, and years down the road, thousands of years down the road in Matthew, when they're doing a genealogy of Jesus, Judah is listed right there. His very name means praise. You say, well, how does that all tie together, preacher, with something ugly that I could give thanks for in my life? You know, she had Judah all down through there. Here comes Christ. And with Judah comes Christ. And with Christ, how many billions and billions of people's lives have been saved? How many lives have been changed? How many people got, listen, like you and I tonight in 2020 are sitting in a church. You know why? Because, listen, she took Reuben and she said, God, you see all things. I don't see why this is going to work out. I don't see how I'm going through this. But God, you see it all. And then she had Simeon and she said, God, I know you hear my prayer. And God, I know you hear all things. And I'm a praying God. And listen, then she had Levi. And she said, now I can start to see how all this is working together. But it really didn't come to fruition until she had Judah. And then she said, now I'll praise the Lord. You know why? Because through Judah would be Christ. And millions upon billions of people, a life would be changed because of Christ. She took a tragedy, brother, and turned it into a triumph. And in your life, in my life, people can see Christ from what we go through when we don't understand. And I've used this illustration so many times about the little child that went for surgery. And the doctor says, it's a dangerous surgery. We're going to have to open up your chest, that child. Said, what we're going to find when we open up your chest, he's just trying to make a rapport with that little child. That little child said, when you open up my chest, you're going to find Jesus. Went back to the doctor again. Said, son, it's serious surgery. What am I going to find when you open up your chest and look at your heart? That little boy with a little grin said, when you open up my chest and look at my heart, you're going to find Jesus. So the doctor talked to the boy's mom and dad and said, look, I want him to understand how serious this surgery is. He needs to get a hold of this. I don't think he's taking this serious. They said, oh, he's taking it real serious. So the doctor sat down again and said, right on the operating table, before they put the little boy to sleep, said, son, we're getting ready to open up your chest right here. We're going to look at your heart. What do you think we're going to see? And the little boy said, you're going to see Jesus. They did the surgery. It went for hours and hours. And the little boy passed away. The doctor comes out in the waiting room with the mom and dad sitting there. And he's dreading Tyler so much. Tell them what had happened back there. They sit down and listen, look to the little boy's dad and mom and told them the news that their son had died. And they cried and they cried and they wept. And it hurt them like anything. Then that doctor started crying. And the daddy got down with the mother and they prayed right there. They looked up and the dad said, he said, well, when you open up his chest, and he was asking about what kind of problems did you see in his chest, what kind of issues. That doctor was crying, said, I don't know. Said, all I know is I found Jesus when I opened up that boy's chest. Amen. And so you and I don't know sometimes. You and I don't know. I mean, we go through things in life that we can't explain. We don't see it, but God sees it. We think nobody hears, but God hears it. We don't see how it's even going to work together, but we know that God worketh all things together for good. Amen. And then at the very end of the day, we can praise the Lord because through a Judah, a lot of people are going to see Christ in our lives. You know, one of the greatest testimonies that people have is when they go through hard things in their life and they're still serving the Lord. They've still got a smile on their face. They still got a love about them. They still got joy in their heart. Boy, you tell you what, and when the world sees that, it can't be explained. When you see a little family that's went through such hardship, or you see a man that's went through such heartbreak, or a woman that's went through such hardship, and you see them and they got joy, and they got peace, you can't buy that, Brother Glenn. I read this illustration, and it's like this right here. It's like this same thing right here about Donald Tipton in New York City. Donald Tipton was at a YMCA. He walked out of the YMCA And he noticed two boys in New York City back in the 70s robbing a gas station across the street. The boys seen him and ran over and attacked him. Listen, because they thought he was going to tell on them. They attacked him, thought they killed him, dragged him over behind a radiator to YMCA. Left him for dead. A lady come through, slipped on Donald Tipton's blood, fell, found Donald Tipton. They took brass knuckles, they took blackjacks, they beat this man to a bloody pulp. These two teenage boys, they were 17, 18 year old. They took and beat the man to a pulp. He goes into surgery, they save his life, but they had to take out one of his eyes. Lost one of his eyes. They end up finding the two boys that done it. They found the two boys that done it. They took to court. He showed up at court. Donald Tipton showed up at court. And you think, I know what he want an eye for an eye, right? I want my pound of flesh. But you'll find that don't help nothing, does it? He went there and he spoke on behalf of those boys. He said, Judge, you sentence them. You do what the law says to do. But I would like for them to have an opportunity at some point in time to be paroled. Give them another chance. That's what the man said, that they beat him and lost an eye. Lost an eye. He had an artificial eye. Both those boys were paroled out in New York. One boy was given another opportunity, give him another chance. He quickly committed other crimes, ended up spending the rest of his life in prison. But you know what one boy did? One boy got his GED. He went to college. He ended up going to medical school. And he ended up becoming an eye surgeon and working on people's eyes that lost their eyes. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If Donald Tipton laying there, he would have said, I don't see how this is going to work out. And that boy in the jail cell, I don't see how this is going to work out. I don't see God answer no prayers. But God was working all things together, wasn't he? And going to bring praise through it all at the end. Amen. Folks, we're coming upon the Thanksgiving season. We got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. But we need to be thankful, too, about things that we're not so thankful for to happen in our lives. Yeah. About the ugly things that we've had to go through and experience. If we'll allow God and have faith and hope and trust in God, if we'll allow God, God will use it in a marvelous, miraculous way in our life. No matter what situation, no matter what it is, God can.